Off the Ball Breakfast.
What's your favourite GAA chant?
Man, him. So three syllables.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. Our Farney Army, do.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
And you're welcome back to Off the Ball Saturday on News Talk. John Duggan with you through to five. And now on the line is the four-time All-Star from Mayo, footballer and hurler Keith Higgins, who played in six All-Ireland football finals as part of 75 championship appearances and also captained a Nicky Rackard Cup winning hurling team. Afternoon, Keith.
Hi, John. How are you?
Good, thanks, Keith. We got two things to talk about. Kerry Donegal tomorrow and then an important fundraiser, which we're going to get to speak about. But first up the game, are you excited now, more so than you would have been maybe last year because of these new rules?
Yeah, definitely. I think, I was even just thinking about this during the week, you know, if you look back at last year's final go in Armagh, even trying to pick a winner on that one was tough, but, and it's the same this year, you know, it's a toss of a coin really to see who's going to win this one. But I suppose it's just the whole excitement around the quality of the game is going to be different this year, do you know? Like we've seen the level of scoring the all year. So yeah, I think it's just more so the quality of the game as well. I suppose, look, when you have probably the two best teams on form in the final as well, it is making it excitement. So it's very difficult to call, but definitely looking forward to it.
What do you like about the new rules?
I just think they're adding that bit of excitement to the game. Do you know, I suppose when you're a manager, you're a coach on the sideline, you're looking, you kind of want to be able to control as much as you can control. And some of these new rules take a lot of that out of it, you know. The kick-out having to go past the arc is leading to more longer kick-outs, leading to more 50-50 possessions out there, which takes away that control. But and it's leading to contest for the spectators then, which is kind of, I suppose it's leading to more excitement during the games, you know. And obviously, I think we've seen the scoring rates appear to be up a bit as well. So, yeah, I just find it seems to be just kind of making a bit more attacking-orientated, which is the main thing. And from a spectator's point of view, that's what you want to see. You want to see teams going at it. You want to see the best players showcasing their skills. And you want to see David Clifford hitting 1-8, 1-9 a game, except if it's against Mayo.
Keith, is David Clifford going to be the difference for Kerry tomorrow, or is it more than that?
Look, I think any day he goes out, he's probably the main difference. But I think up against Donegal, Jim McGuinness is going to try and come up with some form of strategy for him. So I suppose it depends on kind of what Kerry can do maybe outside of that, which one or two players will stand up. You know, we've seen O'Connor doing it, we've seen Paul doing it at times, we've seen Sean O'Shea doing it against Armagh. So yeah, I think ultimately, you know, if David Clifford goes out and he hits 1-9, Kerry will probably win the game. If he's held to 5 or 6 points, they may not win the game, you know. So he's obviously going to be the difference, but I suppose a lot of it does reflect around that support and act that kind of comes out and helps him as well. You know, they do need to be hitting 20-21 points, you'd imagine, to win the game. So it's where them extra scores will come from. But he's always going to be the star of the show, really, isn't he?
He is, yeah. Just on Donegal, Keith, if we're making the argument for them, is it because there's just a strong unit under Jim McGuinness?
Yeah, I think that's it. Like, you know, they obviously have a lot of quality players around the place, but like a lot of them players have been there the last number of years as well. But whatever it is about McGuinness, he just seems to be able to kind of build that kind of team unity and build a really strong togetherness around them. And again, we've seen that the last number of years, particularly this year as well. It's obviously down to his man management skills. He gets the best out of the players. He gets them to buy into whatever kind of mission they're on. And I think that's the strongest part of their game, the structure he puts in place around them. They believe in it, they know it works, and they never go away from it. You know, we've even seen against Meath there where they were cruising the last 10 or 15 minutes. Their defensive setup was the exact same. They were attacking with the same purpose. So it's just the way he gets them organised, gets the way of buying into whatever kind of belief system he has. And yeah, like we see, it's paying off for him. It's paid off for him in the past.
There were days when Mayo did themselves justice in finals, Keith, and there were days when they didn't. I remember back to 2017 when I felt you all played brilliantly. You were just pipped on the day by Dublin, who were a generational team, and so were you. But given you played so well that day, are there things that you need to do as a player for your own individual, performance to make yourself do yourself justice on the day?
Look, I think it's a matter of kind of sticking with whatever routine is working with you. I suppose at that stage, we'd played in the finals in 16 as well. We'd have a lot of the boys been there, obviously, in 12 and 13. So we kind of knew the whole routine of it. Like any time we played against Dublin, it kind of really brought out the best in us anyways. But I suppose, again, for anyone who's in their first one, it's just a matter of kind of, again, just sticking with the routine that's kind of got you there in the days leading up to the game. But then on the day itself, I suppose you just need to kind of make sure, and this is probably where McGuinness's skills come into it again, just make sure you're doing your job, you're not trying to do anything special. making sure you know your role and you're just going out and doing that and kind of getting over them nerves in the first couple of minutes. So, that's kind of why you'd nearly be giving Donegal the slight edge, just because that psychological edge that McGuinness has and been able to get his players to do exactly what they need to do. And we've seen that, I suppose, in his previous final appearances.
Now, tomorrow there is a shoulder-to-shoulder walk in aid of those suffering from ALS, the most common form of motor neuron disease. Now, the walk is taking place at 9 a.m. at St. Bridget's GA Club in Crockett in County Offaly. The former All-Ireland winners with Galway, Joe Bergen and Michael Meehan, they're part of the organising team. It's been supported as well by the likes of GAA in Galway, Leinster Rugby and Connacht Rugby. If you can't make the walk, you can support via iDonate. All funds are going to research motor neuron. Now, I'm referencing this sponsor walk, Keith, because you very sadly lost your brother, Pierce, to motor neuron disease in 2023. Perhaps you could talk to us first about Pierce, the person you remember as a human being, a brother, a family man, and a Mayo hurler.
Yeah, I suppose anytime we've spoken about it or anytime we were doing the fundraiser, even back in 2022 for him, it was all about, I suppose, his sporting, you know, on the back of his sporting achievements and the fact that he was the hurler and he was, I suppose, such a good club man. But yeah, look, anytime I think back to him, obviously you're thinking of your older brother and you have memories of your childhood growing up and out in the back garden and kind of knocking lumps out of each other. But his big love outside of his family was hurling with Ballyhonus. And I suppose the dedication he gave to that, the commitment he gave to us, his drive on the pitch, his commitment. So many things you can kind of say that it stand out at the moment, but yeah, look, at the end of the day, he was a family man, he was a big brother, and he was a father, and they're the special memories that you'll always have.
You soldiered together for quite a long time in the Mayo jersey, Christy Ring Cups, and you went and then you eventually captained the Nicky Rackard Cup winning team.
Yeah, I think I kind of came in the Mayo Hurlers under Matty Murphy, probably 2002, I think, at the time. So he'd kind of been floating around there for a few years, so... Yeah, I just remember my first couple of years even playing with the club at senior level. It was good to have the big brother there beside you in case any row started. It was always the first one in, and it might have got him in trouble a few times. But we played for a long time. He kind of took a break from the county scene then for a few years, but he came back then, I think 2008, when we had Pete Finnerty, Matty Murphy involved as well. And yeah, we did a good couple of years there. We were kind of probably punching above our weight a small bit against the likes of Westmeath and Kildare's and Kerry's and Carlow's, and you know, and lucky not to get to the ring final 2008. But that's the joys of it. So we got to eventually got to the ring final 2023, but 2022, sorry, but Kildare were a good few steps ahead of us, and we've seen the progress they've made in the last few years.
Absolutely, yeah. It was about 2017 around the All-Ireland final when he was diagnosed, Keith.
Yeah, so again, I suppose anyone who's aware of it will know, like, the symptoms are kind of, it was nearly there for a while for him. He was having tests done probably for a number of months, but they never put a full diagnosis on it. And then eventually, I think it was kind of a week or 2 weeks before the All-Ireland, he actually got the full diagnosis, but he didn't tell me till the week actually after the All-Ireland final in 2017. I think it was that Wednesday or Thursday, so they kind of broke the news. So yeah, it was a tough one to take. Those first few days, you're not kind of sure what to think. It's not the news anybody expects to get, you know. Now, again, I suppose, look, everyone's symptoms are different for a while with this. You know, Pierce's were very, very slow for the first number of years, so he was still able to work. He was a carpenter by trade. So he was still able to work for the first 2 or 3 years. Had to kind of make some adjustments in the workshop, and in fairness to his employers, they were very good to him, but... Yeah, COVID hit then, and it's kind of really from end of 2020, 2021 that it kind of started to deteriorate then kind of for the next kind of year or two, kind of at a quicker pace, you know.
So it's a neurodegenerative disease. It attacks nerves in the brain and spinal cord, which gives signals to muscles. So over time, the muscles stop working, Keith, and it is debilitating and incurable. So it just gets tougher and tougher as things go on.
Gets tougher and tougher. Yeah, you need a lot of good support around you, and in fairness we had that, and obviously his wife and family, and we had a very good bunch of friends. But like you said there, I suppose to witness that deterioration is very tough, and I'm sure you know yourself, anyone who's kind of gone through it, it is very, very tough to witness someone like that and that deterioration. And obviously it does affect people in different ways, whether it's their speech, whether it's the movement of their hands or their ability of their hands, whether it's their mobility. So it is extremely tough to kind of deal with. And unfortunately, like we said there, that there's no cure for it. So I suppose that's the main reason behind all these kind of fundraisers. I have another one on Thursday night there for another friend of mine, Sean Brown, another good GA man. So again, his early 40s, he's suffering from it. So the more fundraisers like this we can do tomorrow and to raise awareness for it, the better, because I suppose we need to get some form of help for it as soon as possible.
My dad was 65 and he just retired and he got a thing called progressive supranuclear palsy. So this is kind of a different, but not too dissimilar condition, Keith. He had a disease of the brain, so his walking, his balance was affected, his speech was affected, and then eventually he got pneumonia, which is what got him. But it's like you're going from, you like to bet, so you're going from going up to the bookies with him and you'd have a stick to linking him to the bookies to then end up ringing the bookies on a phone because he's in a wheelchair. And he had a brother who had MND. He had a brother who had Parkinson's. He had a niece, my cousin, she had MND, and she very sadly went through a very tough time and lost her life in her 40s. So I suppose knowing the pain and the suffering that you've gone through and Pierce's family, I suppose the cruel thing about all of this is that it kind of robs people of what we all take for granted, doesn't it?
Mm, absolutely, yeah. And that's the thing, I suppose. Obviously, you talk about there, the people when they have young families as well, in particular, it's very, very difficult. It robs them, I suppose, of those moments with their wife, with their children, with their loved ones, seeing them grow up, seeing the special occasions kind of come and go and they're not around. And that's the kind of difficult part as well, I think, you know. So, yeah, look, it's such an evil disease in a way, you know. It's and like I said, the sooner we can get some form of treatment for it, the better, and the more people we can help, because I think there's so many people around the country that are suffering from it. And we've seen here in Mayo, we've endured Brady a number of years ago, again, it's early 40s with young family passing away. So, yeah, I think it's about time we kind of got some form. Look, I know they are doing great work and doing great research on it. And, you know, fingers crossed they come up with something very soon.
I think when I read the Christy O'Connor piece that you did in the Irish Examiner, a very powerful piece before Pierce passed away, that you really got a sense of the support that the GA community just brings to everything, the kindness, the decency of people.
Absolutely. And I think we like I said, Pierce is a very kind of close group of friends, all of them who we knew through the GA nearly, you know. They really rallied around them. And then when we did the fundraiser, the Hurling for Hope, back in 2022, like it was raised over nearly 240,000. It was fantastic, but there was people from all over the country from a GA background getting in touch and sending donations and lending support. And it's at that stage you kind of really realize how good the community is and how it rallies around each other. And no more so than this fundraiser tomorrow, you know, like I said, the more people that can get there and get the jersey on and participate, the better. But it's a special occasion, I'm sure all the sports occasions or associations around the country are the same. When there's someone involved, they rally around.
How are you doing, Keith? Because grief is not time limited. It doesn't go in straight lines. It doesn't have a rhythm. It's obviously been a tough time for you.
It is, yeah. And like everyone's kind of, I suppose, nearly suffers or deals with it in their own way. Like sometimes even speaking about it can help. You know, I suppose that was the one thing we found for the first probably year or two, because the symptoms were so slow, we nearly tried to bury our head in the sand in a way, you know, and try and nearly ignore it for a while. And eventually it nearly forces you to talk about these things and forces you to talk about your feelings and kind of rally around each other, support each other. So yeah, like I said, everyone deals their own way. I think you just have to remember the good times as much as you can and not dwell on it. And sometimes, like I said, just even speaking like this and getting involved with fundraisers does help, because it kind of helps you see the positive side of it, you know.
No, well said. Just on the fundraiser tomorrow, I think these things are important for two reasons, as you kind of articulated there. Number one, because this is incurable, and what you want as much fundraising to go to research so they can find a cure for this terrible disease. And the second thing as well is to make life as comfortable as possible in the care of a patient and their family.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's just another aspect of it as well. Even I know at the time when we were doing ours, Pierce came along to it as well, and you think it's going to be tough, but there are people coming up who've gone through it as well, and they're not that they're being overbearing, but they are giving you a little bit of support and a little bit of advice and how to deal with things. And even then on Thursday night, like I said, is that another one, and even seeing Sean at the event, it gives him a bit of a lift as well, you know. It gives him a bit of a buzz as well, and it gives that feel good factor to it. And look, people that are going through it, I just think any bit of positivity at all and any bit of fun involved with it, you know, it just gives them that bit of a lift, and it gives them that bit of a light, unfortunately, at a tunnel where there isn't one, you know. So, look, I think that they're very important from a numbers point of view. So anyone who can get to Bridges tomorrow to help out, like I said, the more the merrier.
Well, I appreciate you, Keith, for taking the time to talk to us about a very tough subject. Who's going to win the final tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm tossing and turning on this one all week. I think it's a toss of a coin. I was Kerry, then I went to Donegal, and kind of nearly slightly going back to Kerry now. So, look, I don't know. I'll go with Kerry, but for no particular reason. I just think it could go either way, to be quite honest.
Keith Higgins, take care, and thanks for speaking to Off the Ball here.
Appreciate it, John. Thank you very much.